blessed to be in God's house tonight. When I stood there, I just thought, this is life. Amen? This is life. Just to be able to pray for each other and enjoy church. Now, this is not church. We are the church, but we get together as the church and we can celebrate God the Father. While we worship, I also just heard the Holy Spirit just saying this thing in my spirit. It's a rhetorical question. Do you realize how much I love you? This is a simple rhetorical statement, actually. Do you realize how much I love you? And I've shared the testimony many times, but when our young eldest daughter was born, Misha, I didn't know what to expect. And as she came out, I just had this rush of emotion, of love, of feelings I haven't ever felt. And I just heard the Holy Spirit saying, but if you feel like this, think how I feel towards you. You're an earthly father. I'm a heavenly, perfect father. So His love for us is perfect. And that's exactly what we're going to share on tonight, is God as the Father. You know, the previous time when I had the opportunity to preach, I stood still on the issue of sonship, and I called it daughtership, for those of you who remember that. And God led me to preach the same thing in Standerton, and it was such a blessing, because the week prior to that, I wasn't sure if I should, you know, it doesn't feel good to preach the same sermon again. I don't know about you, Heinrich and Alistair, but sometimes you feel like, oh, you can't share the same word. God said, just do it. And afterwards, Amanda just came to me, she said, you don't know how much it meant to us, because the previous week, we didn't have a sermon, we just prayed, prophetic intercession, and we broke the spirit of the orphan spirit, you know, the slave spirit. And she said specifically towards women. So it was such an encouragement to me that we many times we don't feel the Holy Spirit, you don't hear the Holy Spirit, you don't feel that power, but He is alive in each and every one of us. So the same thing happened here. God just led me to preach on the Father, God being a perfect Father. And only afterwards I realized that today is Father's Day. So tonight, it's not going to be a long word. It's not going to be a complex word. It's just God the Father, the simplicity and the power of that truth. And you can, you know, just see tonight as a celebration of Father's Day. We're at the end of it now, but He is still our Father. And we're just here together as His children to say, God, thank you for who you are. So just regard it as a celebration tonight. This morning, it was so cold, some of us had to take our Bibles to defrost in the microwave. But tonight we've got the lamps, what do you call it? The heaters. So it's not all that cold. Before I pray, I just want to go back to one aspect that I touched on previously. So next slide, it says, it's the knowledge of whose we are that changes the way we live. We are not defined by what we do. We're not defined by other people, our history. As Christians, we are defined by whom we belong to. So it's not as important as who you are, but whose you are. You're not defined by what you do, but to whom you belong. So if I ask you the question, who are you? Then your response as a child of God is, I am a child of God. But tonight we're going to turn this magnifying glass around. We're not going to focus on us. Okay? We're not going to focus on us being children of God. We're going to focus on Him being a Father. Why? Because us being children is dependent on Him being a Father. So everything starts with Him. That's why I'm so blessed to be here tonight. And I can really testify, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have been here tonight. I can honestly say that. Part of my testimony is that my friends who I hanged out with before I got saved, have no lives, absolutely no lives. They've got bad legal records against them, illegitimate children, alcoholics. And I'm standing here and I'm preaching the Word of God, and I have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in me. And the only reason is because of Jesus. I was exactly the same as them. And tonight I can tell you guys the same. None of you would have been here without Jesus. So it's such a blessing to be here and to be together. So let's just pray together before we continue. God, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we are so thankful for you and for you being our Father, that you are a perfect Father. Tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd come and wash our minds with your Word, that we would walk out here with different mindsets. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask it by your Holy Spirit and through your word that is powerful and alive tonight. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. I just want us to take 1 minute before we continue. Pray for your earthly father now. If you don't have him anymore, pray for another father. But just before we continue, let's just, in the natural, thank God for our earthly fathers. With it being Father's Day, I don't want to make it a traditional thing, but we have the opportunity, and I'm going to expand on it from Scripture, why we have the authority to bless. So, if you were here this morning, bless your father again, or bless a different father. Amen. God, I just ask for prophetic words now of our parents as well, God, that you just give us insight, words of knowledge, God, something that will happen this week, something radical or something powerful that we can just speak into being. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for our earthly fathers. But tonight we are here to celebrate you, God. We are here to just have fun in your house, to say thank you, God. You're such a good God. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Remember, I looked at Matthew 3 and 4 where we said that sonship is important because in Matthew 3, Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, and as Pastor Fred always says, God the Father stuck his head through the clouds and he says, this is my boy, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 4, he was challenged on that. And then in Matthew 26, in the Sanhedrin, he was exactly challenged and he was hanged, he was killed because he said, it is as you say, I am the Son of God. So if sonship was important to Jesus, it's important to us. So if sonship is important, fatherhood is obviously even more important. And I'm going to highlight a very interesting fact from Scripture just a bit later on why it's important for us to see God clearly as a father. I don't know who of you have heard of A.W. Tozer. He was a well-known preacher in America in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And he's got this interesting quote, which I initially didn't understand, so don't feel bad if you don't either. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. The most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. If I can just expand a bit on it, I'm going to keep on coming back to this quote, but our perception of God influences our relationship with God. And everybody in this hall tonight has a perception of God. If you think, no, my perception is the same as any other person in Shofar, you're wrong. People have different history, people have different father relationships, and therefore all of us see God in a different light. Then your perception, the way you see God, influences your relationship with God. And your relationship with God influences everything in your life. That is a fact. You can't get away from it. So if I say God, something, some feeling, some thought comes into your mind, into your heart. And that influences the position you take in towards Him. So A.W. Tozer had something here. Everybody also has a magnet, a spiritual magnet on the inside. We see it in different faiths, that everybody has this obsession with knowing God, understanding Him, searching for Him. Even atheists, when they refer to their faith, they refer to it as not trusting in God or not believing in God. You can't get away from that. We are all designed for God, by God. That is the purpose of every human being, by God, for God. So, he continues with this quote. We tend by the secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. What that says is that that whole issue of the magnet. You've got a mental image of God and your soul has this longing towards that image. Therefore, it's important for us to have a clear understanding of who God the Father is. And unfortunately, none of us will walk out here tonight with a perfect understanding of God the Father. But through the Word, not through my words, but through the Word of God, we will walk out here, including myself, with a better understanding of Him. And therefore, with a better position towards Him, leading to a better relationship, therefore influencing everything. God has this deep sense of making Himself known towards us. He wants us to know Him fully. He wants to be made known towards us. And I just want to read Acts 17:27-28. How do you see Him? God did this so that men would seek Him and reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are His offspring. Though He is not far from each of us, for in Him we live and move. He's got this desire to be known by us. He doesn't want to hide Himself. He doesn't want to make it difficult. Therefore, tonight, if you want to know Him, you will know Him, and you will know Him better. But it is a lifelong journey. So, if I can just quickly refer back to my testimony on the Holy Spirit. I got saved. I had this desire to know God, and I just reached a ceiling. I went to my spiritual leader. I've shared this testimony before. But the guy actually told me, listen, there's nothing more. And something in me, even though I was very young, said, it cannot be. There must be something more. I read the scriptures and I see the power that is present in the New Testament. And I started searching for the Holy Spirit and I found Him. And I know many times we make the jokes that God cannot be found because He's not lost and all of that. But you know what I'm saying? If you have a desire for Him, that desire will be met. Okay, so if I use lost and found, just understand the context. John 14:7-9. In the Old Testament, we had the prophets, we had actions of God, we had deeds of God, and so He was interpreted through the law. People had visions and dreams, but it was a bit more difficult than the position we are in today. You had to know God and learn of God through a spiritual leader. Then came the New Testament, and God the Father sent us His Son, His own Son. And the scripture just clarifies it beautifully. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also, and from now on you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? You have seen Me, have seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And once again, it's one of those scriptures, you can just read over it and say it's a great scripture, note it down in your book, and you leave it there. But if you stand still and you just think on the implication and the power that is hidden in the scripture, what the word says is that God has sent His Son, and with us knowing the Son, we know the Father perfectly. Okay? You'll all say, yes, I agree with that. But take it a bit further. Knowing that looking at the Son shows you the Father means that the relationship between them is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect. I have twin brothers, and even though they look the same, if I know the one, I definitely don't know the other one. There's a big difference between them. And so if God makes a statement that He sent His Son, and because He sent His Son, we can know God the Father fully. It's a wonderful privilege for us as New Testament believers to know that He sent His Son, we've got relationship with the Son through the Holy Spirit, and therefore we know the Father. And we can just thank Him for that tonight. So, what's your image of God? How do you see Him? I just want to highlight a couple of images, and they're no way wrong or right, and it's in no way my perception, but these are just perceptions that I know of. So the first one is let's call it the light force God, the force. It's the God out there that is just light. He's a power, He's a force. I can't explain Him, He's just out there. A lot of people believe in Him, especially movie stars, and like I said this morning, especially with people smoking dacha, the more they smoke it, the more they acknowledge this force. You know, you've spoken to people, speak to them about God, and they say, yes, I believe in God. And you speak to them about God, and you realize, but this guy's God and your God is not the same God at all. There's no face to this God. There's no description to Him. The second one I just want to highlight is the grandpa God. It's the old guy with a beard, the friendly guy, the happy guy, never gets angry, he's got sweets in his pocket. Many people see God like that. You can smell him, okay? You know what I'm talking about. And he's the grandpa God. He's friendly. And some people see God like that. He just sits in the corner. You can speak to him if you like, and he doesn't actually do much for you. Then the accountant God. And this is one that we see a lot of people believing in. The accountant God is the one that works purely on debits and credits. Everything you do is either a debit or a credit. And the angels walk around with the little PDAs and they just note every single thing you do. And at the end, everything counts up. And then the answer pops on the screen, yes or no, you may enter heaven or not. That's the accountant God. You may laugh about it, but a lot of us believe this, or a part of us still believes this. Sometimes I catch myself out still believing a small part of this, that my deeds influences God's view on me, His feelings towards me. Doomsday God, He's the hell and fire God. He's the one everybody's afraid of. People try to just keep away from Him. So if you talk to somebody and says, yes, I believe in God, and man, I'm going to hell, so I better enjoy this little piece of life I have on earth. I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to hell. That's God to some people. Church God. Yeah, well, that's the God that lives in a building. He loves quiet, peace and quiet. I've driven in some towns where you see these little boards saying, quiet church. And that's sort of the God. He lives in a church. He loves playing the organ in his off times. And he just likes the peace and quiet. So that's, if that's news to you tonight, God doesn't live in a church. He lives in us. He is alive in this church. He's alive in us as the church. But His little toe may have fit into this building here tonight. So there's no place for God in a church building alone. Then, Buddy Bob God. Okay, I don't know a lot of people that see God like this, but I believe there are some people that he's the guy you go out to have a beer with, you talk to him, you don't have a lot of respect for him, and, you know, there's just no respect. It's like just your buddy. eBay God. And when I prepared this, I caught myself out with this eBay thing in my head, whereby you've got stuff you want to get rid of in your life, and you just put in orders. You say, God, please get rid of this. And then, God, I want this. And God, I really don't need this. And God, I want to place the orders along. eBay God, you just stack in the orders. God is just there to do stuff for you. And then the politically correct God, which we also have around in South Africa at present. That's the God. Everything is just okay. We can talk everything away. There's no right or wrong. Everything is just gray. And let's just not step on anybody's toes. Politically correct God. So how do you see God tonight? Your relationship with your earthly father has influenced your relationship with your heavenly father. If you believe it or not, and we're going to share on that a bit further later on tonight. Any or a lot of circumstances influences the way we see God, and we need to renew our mind with the Word of God. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're celebrating God. When the Word says repent, you know what the Hebrew word for that is? Okay, anybody? Come on. Repent. Metanoia, great. Metanoia meaning? It's meta, change, noia, the way you think. So if God says repent, and I'm saying to you, repent tonight, doesn't mean you need to curl up and feel sorry for yourself. It means change the way you think about God, because that will influence the way you live and change the way you live. John 1 John 3 verse 1. Listen to this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. The God of the universe showered us with love, and because He's done that, you can see yourself walking under this waterfall of love, and because He's created that waterfall, you may be called a child of God. The Amplified says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. So that we may be permitted. Now, that's why we share this truth with respect. Because for a human being to be called a child of God is not something that we can, in any matter, take lightly. Jesus paid a very large fine for us to be able to be called children of God. So behold, what manner of love. Like we've said many times, the church is currently just in a foundational stage where we go back to the roots. And when God says go back to the roots, it means that He wants to take us higher. He actually, if He says take the roots deeper, it means that the tree will only go higher. If He says focus on the foundation of the building, it means that there's a season approaching where the bricks will be laid very fast and very high. And we are currently in that season. We've heard it over and over, the word of grace, of His glory, of His Son, of His love. And those are basics. You may be sitting here in the last couple of months thinking, but I've heard this, I've heard this. And I want to encourage you, we need to hear this because there's a season approaching where God is going to move very fast. And if the foundation is not strong, it means that you're either going to have to stop or break down or both and to rebuild. And that is not a pleasant experience. So, at present, I'm challenging myself to make sure that my foundations, the stuff I believe in, is actually true, because I'm not experiencing a lot of persecution. Ed, God bless you, because your foundation is being tested. But there is a time coming where our foundations will be shattered and shaken, and then it must be strong, so that we can continue building. So God's love, something we know of, something we've heard a lot. But grace and glory and love are all concepts, are all words, we understand them, but it's not something you can put your arms around, it's not something you've seen necessarily practically, and that's why God has the skin of a father. Because that is something we can say, and we should be able to say is, I can put my arms around that, I can love that, I can understand that. And you might not have a perfect relationship with your father, or maybe you never had a father, and God recovers that, and God covers that by His grace. But He's got the skin of a father. The NIV says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. I just want to show you this next slide. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went to this party, and this family was our previous neighbors. Okay, Tim and Laura, some of you may have met them. And their story really blesses me. Because Tim and Laura, except for the little girl they adopted here in the middle in her arms, they recently adopted Nico on the far left. Now, the story of Nico is as follows. This boy, I think at the age, okay, he's 29, so at the age of 16, he was put in jail for specific reasons. And he was there for 4 years. Tim met him through ministry. God spoke to his heart and said, this is a son that you must adopt. They adopted Nico while he was still in prison, legally, and we attended the homecoming party of that boy. And I can tell you that I had goosebumps for most of the party because God just physically, I could see this is what God did with us. He adopted us while we were still in that prison of sin. He opened the door for us and He says, you know what, forget about your past. I'm your new father. And this boy started calling him father while that legal process hasn't even been put through yet. Obviously, he got saved before they adopted him. But the primary reason for him ending up in jail was he never had any parents. His mother abandoned him when he was birthed. And then he just went from one foster parent to another. From one orphanage to another. He's never had, and the photo is a bit blurry, but you must see his face. He's never had a family. He's never had people care about him. These are the first people, and It's just a small thing, but you see his arm there, that around the eldest son there. And that was his homecoming party, and he immediately just embraced this position that was opened up for him. And that's exactly what we need to do as children of God. Embrace and accept God's love. Many times we come into this family and we keep this mentality, the slave mentality, this orphan mentality. But we should embrace God as a father. That is His desire. Any person in the house tonight that have children can agree with that. The desire of a parent is to be a parent, to be acknowledged as a parent. That's why the worst thing that can happen is to be rejected by our own children. Over and above them doing wrong things, the primary desire is just to be able to give love and for that love to be accepted. So that's a word for us as children of God. God says, "Do you know how much I love you?" And we should respond to that love because that's what excites Him. God desires for us to know Him. So if that is true, if you can just go to the next slide. If God's desire is for us to know Him, what would the enemy's plan be if that's his desire? What would the enemy's strategy be? The enemy's strategy would be to break down exactly that, to break down that relationship with the Father. So we shouldn't be confused if we see a lot of broken relationships in church, father-son, father-daughter relationships. We are in a war. And Naren, I think you and I still had the discussion. But Satan is not a bad sportsman. You know, a bad sportsman is that guy in the Bafana game that tripped our guy. And then, you know, you stand up and you sort of, "Oh, I'm sorry." And you take the guy by the hand, you pick him up. That's a bad sportsman. Okay, Satan is not that guy. He is not the guy that trips you and then quickly helps you up. He's the guy that trips you, jumps on you, shouts at you, and then doesn't make any excuses for that. He's not the guy that flips around in the air and seems as if he got hurt or wants to hurt. He is in it for war. So if the word says he's here to kill and steal and destroy, that's what he wants to do with our father relationships, with our earthly fathers. So tonight we're also going to give an opportunity for that. Because we shouldn't be ashamed if your relationship with your father is shattered. Because that's the strategy of the enemy. Then you need to come to your brothers and sisters and tell them, "Listen, pray for me. I've taken some knocks. There's a bad history of this thing in my family and I want to break it." This morning I was so blessed with just prayer with some people that came forward. It said, "This stops here." And the amazing thing, I was still praying with the one guy, and you know how God works through the Holy Spirit many times. I just saw this vision of a big axe coming down and cutting off this tail thing he had behind him. And I shared it with him. I said, "Listen, God is cutting off this thing. You must believe it." And we just prophesied it and we spoke, you know, life into it. And you have the power as a child of God to stop all of that history. To say, "You know what, my children are not going to have the same issues and they're not going to be brought up with the same issues as I have." We're also going to have a greater opportunity to bless our earthly parents. So, who knows the last scripture in the Old Testament? Vivian, Ed, you guys were here this morning. Alistair. Okay. Who knows the last scripture in the Old Testament? Yep, that's one up there. Okay. "And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I shall come and strike the earth with a curse." We've heard that scripture. He wants the hearts of the fathers and the children turned towards each other. But then, and I went to go and verify it, guess how many years of silence was there between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Amanda, you help me? Okay. How many years between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Okay. Approximately, very close to 400 years. Okay. So 400 years of just God saying silence. Okay. It's almost that, like just a bit of silence. We've done a lot of things now. There's been a couple of wars. Let's just take a break. So 400 years, no prophets, no scriptural writing down anything, no laws being set up. And then Luke 1. Now, Matthew 1 is not the beginning of the New Testament. Chronologically, Luke 1 is the beginning, and that is 7 years before Christ. So Luke 1 talks about, and you can open your Bible if you want to verify it, Luke 1 is the prophecy of John. Okay? Like I said, this is the beginning of the New Testament. If your Bible has that chronological timeline, you'll see it. So Luke 1 speaks about John, the birth of John. And then there's a prophecy about John's life. And guess what the prophecy is about? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So with this other prophecy of John preparing the way for Jesus, there was this very interesting additional prophecy. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So the Old Testament ends off with hearts of the fathers turned to the children and children to the fathers, 400 years of silence, and John. John turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that's just interesting. What that says to me is that God is interested in fatherhood. God takes this seriously. God wants us to take Him serious as a father. So this bridge of fatherhood between the Old and New Testament. And if it's important to God, it must be important to us. Now, God, as the perfect father, He was the first dad. There was no dads before God. So, no, like I said this morning, with respect, God didn't have any issues. He didn't have any baggage. He didn't have anybody to blame for certain issues in His life. You can say, oh, but I just got this from my dad, or all the other excuses people might have, or truth. Like I said, I say it with respect. But who is God as the Father? He is not a reflection of our earthly fathers, but the perfection thereof. Not the reflection. He's not just your earthly father being improved. That's a challenge for us, and that's why Satan tries to knock these earthly father relationships. Because he wants us just to compare him with our earthly father. And if you have a great father, then that's good. But he's not your father blown up. He is the perfect father. So let's see who he is. Everything he says is true. Everything he does is right. Always. His motives are pure in everything, every time. And as I read this, just compare it with normal fathers. Just with your dad. And you might say, oh, this he gets a tick box, this he gets a cross. But God, being the perfect Father, we can say this about Him. Everything He hears, He understands. And why that is so blessed is that when we talk to human beings, words fall on the ground. People misunderstand each other. But with God, what you say to Him, He understands fully. Even your thoughts, He understands fully. And in a marriage where you are one with your wife, even there, we have a breakdown of communication. And I think the men especially can agree to that. That you have difficulty sometimes to communicate with your wife. And that is a very good earthly relationship. So with God, that communication is perfect. He understands. His discipline is always righteous and for the best. Everything He promises, He does. He's not like the father that doesn't pitch up at the game. Everything He promises, He does. He never forgets about you or anything you do. So you're not like that position you're in where you tell a story to your father and you're like, but dad, don't you remember that? And he says, yeah, okay, I remember. And you sort of have to take out the photos. God remembers everything that is important to you. And He sent the biggest and most perfect gift to us as human beings. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11. Or what man is there among you? If a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of Him? Okay, and I think the only nation that this scripture won't apply to that much are the Chinese. Because then if you say, do you want a fish or a snake? You know? He might choose a snake. So, I think their Bibles have been adjusted like fish or sushi. Alright, so, God is perfect, and I don't know why it created so much a long stelling this morning, but I shared the story that yesterday morning I came down with our baby daughter, and I walked down the steps, and it was very early, and there was a blanket on the stairs, and I fell really bad. So I fell 4 steps, so it's basically this distance here, but the only issue is with our baby in my arms, so I couldn't let go of her and cover myself. So I fell properly. And why I'm mentioning that is that I'm an earthly father. I'm not a perfect father. I try to be a good one. But if my father instinct overruled my human instinct to protect myself, then think how much more, if I put it in this context, is God a perfect father? Now, if a human being has the ability to choose his child over himself, because all the signs are there that I actually cracked my rib, then, you know, God takes that just to a next level. He doesn't crack a rib. He gives his son. He gives his son willingly, knowingly, and the son submits to that death. And I'm really looking forward to heaven. Just to further understand how did God the Father give His Son? How do you sacrifice your Son for a human being, a sinful person? Because the issue is tonight we're here, we're saved, most of us are saved, and it's blessed. We see God and we see each other as God sees us and we know who we are. But remember, He sent His Son to die for you before you accepted Him. And because we're human beings, He didn't know what you're going to make with His Son. He didn't know what decision you would make concerning that death. So, I'm not sure if that possibility was there, but I assume it could have been possible that God sends His Son and human race says, sorry, we don't want you. Just with my human mind, the gamble that God the Father had to take to say, I'm giving everything here. I'm not sure what they're going to do with you. I'm not sure if they're going to accept your death. But I love them so much that I'm willing to sacrifice. That's how much He loves us. They say a man with pain is the most sorrowful being on earth. That's why I had to bring in that story. I just heard a lady say there's nothing worse than a man with the flu. Nothing worse on earth. I don't know if it's true, but it was nice sharing that story. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Galatians 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. Now that word Abba there is one we know. Those of you who don't know the Bible that well, it's not a reference to the band. It is actually Aramaic. I know some people might not be in the faith that long, so we have to give the benefit of the doubt to them. So Abba means Father. Abba is an Aramaic word in which the root of it is Aramaic, which means Father. Now when I did a bit of reading on Abba, I realized there are two schools of thought. Two groups of scholars. The one group take offense in people calling God Daddy, Papa. You know, just like colloquial, just so almost familiar, being familiar with God. They take offense with that. And I hear their issue. That is that yes, we may call God Daddy, but with the necessary respect. Because the flip side of that is we should be able to call Him Dad like a son, a good son, would be able to call his father Dad. With the necessary respect, but also being comfortable with Him. So if the word says Abba, it is the one root, like I said, the bit of reading I did is the one root is just a baby sound, like Abba. Baba, Daddy, Dada, whatever, those who have babies can maybe take a turn. But it's like a baby sound. And why the word, I believe the word uses, the Bible uses that word, is that it talks of a pure, trustful relationship. When a baby calls a father, dad, or papa, whatever, it is pure, it is simple, it is just trustful. So if the word says, God has given us the Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, it speaks of intimacy, trust, just a pure relationship. And even though you might say, yeah, but I don't have the ability to call God the Father, Abba, because I've got too much baggage with my earthly father, then the promise to you tonight is that it doesn't matter, because He's put His Spirit into you, and that Spirit says, Abba. So if you say, God, I've got too much hurt, I've got too much issues, then just let go, because what you need is already in you. Okay, just to start wrapping up, perfect father, new family tree, better blessing. Romans 11, verse 17. You might sit and say, Michal, you don't know my father, you don't know the history of my family, then this is a promise to you, that you've got a new family tree. And you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So speaking of us being grafted in to the family, being grafted in to God. And because we are grafted in, we can distribute this this fatness of the olive tree to everybody around us. You've got nothing to lose because your root is God. You can never outgive God. You can never give too much fatness of this olive tree to the people around you. You can just let it flow. And it's that love of that 1 John 3 verse 1 talks about. Becoming like Him. So now that we know we are His children, we know we are in His family, we've got a responsibility. And I'm just assuming that a lot of us tonight are at that position where you've accepted Jesus, and if you have not, we will give the opportunity for you to take that opportunity. But you've accepted Jesus, you understand who you are in God, you say, yes, I know He's my Father, wonderful, but now you've got a responsibility. That responsibility is to imitate Him, to become like Him. And then the next step is to become a father and to let this holy cycle continue so that we can break down what Satan wants to do in this country. You've heard it said that we are a fatherless generation, that South Africa is fatherless. And it's true. I think if you do a census in churches in South Africa alone, it would be shocking to see what type of relationships, family relationships are present in churches. If you go and just do that, extrapolate that to outside the church, it would be even worse. But we as the children of God, we've got the blessing, the opportunity to reverse this cycle and to change it into a godly cycle. Amen. So, we need to become like Him and to become dads. Let me just read John 3 verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we know the scripture. What I'm just saying is this, is just to open the, or just to put it in the right framework, that we, our whole spiritual journey starts with the spiritual birth. Okay? So what is Spirit is Spirit. We say yes, amen to that. But when we read this, we must also understand that when we are birthed spiritually, just like a natural birth, you cannot receive DNA from anybody else than your mother and father. It's not like you're being birthed in the natural and a bit of the doctor's DNA enters there and a bit of the nurse's DNA enters with you. It's purely your mother and father. And so in the spirit, when you are birthed, you receive God's DNA. What I want to share that is that we have everything in us to be perfect, in brackets, and quotation, what do you call it? On Alan Fierkind. You have everything in you to be a godly parent. You have everything in you to deposit the spiritual DNA of God through relationships, through love in other people's lives. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Okay, be imitators of God. We know we should imitate Him. But the love part is directly linked to imitating God. So the comparison I want to bring in here is that we imitate God. We imitate God through loving people. That's how we imitate and we grow Him, is in this loving relationship. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us. So if tonight you say, yes, I want to become more like the Father, then the Scripture says, imitate me through loving people. Because that's how you practice it. And as children of God, we need to walk in this life of love. And this is not a divine joke. Because you might think, how is it possible for me to be like God? How is it possible for me to imitate God? I mean, it's not like the angels are sitting up and say, God, let's make a joke, pull a joke on the humans, tell them to be like you. And then they struggle their whole lives trying to be like you and they can't get it right. So, if I'm saying that, then the opposite must be true. If God says, imitate me, then He must believe that it's possible for us to be like Him. Okay? And I'm not saying you will be God, you will be like God. There's a big difference. If your aim is to be God, then it's a different faith. And you're in the wrong place tonight. Nobody here wants to be God. We want to be like God. Okay. Live a life of love, imitating God. Okay, just quickly. There's another translation of the Scripture that says, sorry, one back. Be imitators of God as beloved children. You've heard that word, beloved. And in the Old Testament, the word refers to God as I am, when He was revealed to Moses. And then a Hebrew version of that is haya, which is to be, which is the verb of I am. So God says, I am, but I am also to be. So you can wake up in the morning and say, good morning, be. Okay, that's fine. That is a name, that is a version of I am. So if God says beloved, then if we just do a bit of wordplay, be loved, meaning God loved. So if God says you are my beloved, I like to hear you are my God loved. It's not triple B double E, it's be loved. Okay? You are my beloved. You can also flip it around and it's be loved. Because it's, as children, many times it's difficult for us just to be loved, just to accept His love. So God refers to us His beloved. Be loved and be loved. Fiercely fair. Accept it. Okay, so just to wrap up, the steps to maturity. We said being birthed into the kingdom of God. In that birthing process, everything that is birthed of the Spirit is Spirit. So the truth is still alive in us that we have God's DNA in us. Everything we need is already in us. Relationship, through imitating Him, through love, we become like Him. Practice love through that, live a love, life of love. And then the next step, which I'm not going to expand on tonight, is become a father or a mother. A lot of us have walked the walk, we've journeyed with God, and you're at a spiritual ceiling where things just don't happen anymore. Then I want to tell you that most probably you need to start fathering and mothering other Christians. You need to start discipling. You're in a place where you've come to this knowledge of who you are in God. You've come to this knowledge of who He is. And now what? You feel dead. And I think, Anik, I want to link up with what you said earlier. You feel old. You feel like, I've heard this, I've been here. And I want to tell you, chances are very strong that you need to start sharing this with other people. That's how you'll rejuvenate your spiritual life. That's how you get the excitement back, just to see that spiritual journey starting in somebody else's life. If you feel like that tonight, I think we must pray about that. Just that feeling old in the spirit, like things don't happen anymore. Maybe you should just plant the seed in a new Christian's life. So let's stand, and I'm going to flash some scriptures that we just read, and we'll just spontaneously go over into worship. So if I ask you tonight, what do you think about when you think about God? Think on these scriptures that I'm going to put on now. That is God. Yes, it's difficult. We've got all these, all this history with our earthly fathers, but God will renew that. God will metanoia us to have a clear understanding of Him. If you feel tonight, I hear this, but it's not sinking in, then tell it to Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. You must put yourself in a position for Him to reveal Himself to you. Okay, He's a perfect Father. And the most blessed thing tonight, you guys can just start worshipping softly. I'm just talking a bit, yeah? The most amazing thing that I want to refer back to is 1 John 3. He's given us such amazing love that we may be called children of God. God, I pray that tonight You show us what that means. We have been showered with Your love. We can be called children of God. Tonight, Lord, we don't want to focus on ourselves with it being Father's Day, Heavenly Father's Day, Heavenly Father's Night. We say, You are blessed, God. We lift You up, God. We say, there is none like You, God. Lord, use these brains of ours, these hearts of ours, just to comprehend how awesome You are, Lord. We lift You up tonight, Lord. We glorify You. We can just look at the scriptures on there. That is God. That is our God that we serve. We bless Him tonight. We bless You, Lord.